We're studying, it comes out of 2 Thessalonians 3:3, which says, "But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." And you know, as we've been talking about this, and I always use the editorial we, it feels, when I say I've been talking about this, it sounds a little narcissistic or something. So excuse me if I'm not making sense. But anyhow, last couple of weeks, we have been talking about our commitment to Jesus Christ with the question, are we all in with Christ? Meaning our complete commitment to Jesus Christ because it comes with a spiritual battle, right? And all of us who are Christian know we have that battle going on that before we were a Christian, if you had that experience of not knowing Christ for a while, you don't see that battle because you're in the other side. And so when you come over to Christ, there becomes a spiritual battle. And I want to remind us of something, again, I think is really, really important. And that is that it doesn't mean we don't fail. It doesn't mean that we don't make poor choices at times, and sad, but true. Amen? And it also doesn't mean that we aren't all in or committed to Christ. And sometimes I feel like when we goof up or we make a bad decision, all of a sudden we feel like, oh, I'm not committed to Christ. Oh, yes, you are. You're committed to Christ and you're Christ's child. And the great thing is that when the disappointment of our humanity in our weak flesh comes when we fall, that we can cling to him and call out to him immediately, right in the middle of it, and ask him to save us from our enemy. Isn't that great? What a great concept that God's given us in that. And at the same time, we can express our regret and because we do fall. But God is faithful to us, the scripture says, and he will protect us from the dangerous distractions if we listen to his common sense instructions. Okay. So let's take a moment of silent prayer this morning between you and God, and we'll just be quiet for a second. The black now, we have pulled out for a few weeks out of 2 Thessalonians 3:3 because it has so much to do with Ephesians 6:10 through actually 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. So it's okay, I want to flesh this verse out, these set of verses, because there's a lot hidden. I mean, these all make sense, and if you read it, it's fine, but there's a lot of hidden things from the original language that will help us deeply understand this better. And so I want to go over those, okay? Finally, my brothers and sisters, I just want to say that because in the Bible, the word that is in there is kind of generic for all people, but it's usually translated brother, right? And so we got a lot of sisters. Do we have sisters here today? Yeah, okay. So we have some sisters, and we want to talk to and so he's saying, finally, brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his mighty power. In other words, we want to be strong in the Lord through his strength, his mighty power, and if you remember last week, it is the power that rose Christ from the dead. Put on. It's an imperative, and this is where it gets kind of weird. Paul says, put on, okay? But it's having put on already put on. So I think what he's really saying is, beware of your armor, is what he's saying. And so he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be, or that you already have put on, so that you are able, not that you might be able, but that you are able to stand against the strategies and tricks of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against spiritual authorities, against the rulers that rule over the dark world of this age, against spiritual ones of evil in the heavenly places. That's a little scary, isn't it? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, and then that's take up the armor you already have on, for the purpose that you will be able to stand against and resist in the evil day, and having performed it all successfully, to stand. And the central thought here is that we are to stand against the enemy with all the tools and the protection that God has given us, with our whole worth and being in His power. Because it's the armor we already wear. As we go through this, you'll realize, wait a minute, we have all this stuff already. We have it there. We're just not aware. We're a little sleepy. And we have to become aware and be reminded we have it on. We already have it on. And with it, we can stand against the evil around us. That's a promise from God. You know, we as people stand against a lot of things in our society, don't we? We stand against violence and child abuse, racism, hate, starvation, sexual abuse. You can go, oh, thank you. Because they will shipwreck our life. When the evil one has the strategies. And all that's great. All that's great that we stand against these things. Here's the thing. God is talking to us about one specific major thing in our life, and that is the stand against the strategies of the evil one. And God is calling us to firmly be against the devil's tricks, the battle tricks that he sends our way with our full armor of God. And we need to learn and know our enemy as we stand in the battle gear. Now, I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, how can I illustrate this that will make sense to you? Because we have this armor on, but we forget. And I remembered back in grade school, maybe two or three times. It always seems like a lot, doesn't it, when it's two or three times. I had these dreams that these insecure dreams that I would show up to class and I wouldn't have my pants on. Now, have any of you had those insecure? Okay, all right, okay. So there's a few of us. The rest of you must be okay in life, okay. But I'd have these insecure dreams and I look down and think, oh, I forgot to wear my pants. And I would take my shirt and I'd try to get it down as far as I could so it wouldn't show. And nobody seemed to notice. Nobody seemed to notice. And I would wonder myself, why did I come to school without my pants? Okay, I can understand forgetting my lunch, a few other things, but not wearing pants. And how could I not notice that? You know, for you, it might have been going to school with uncombed hair. I don't know what it is. I've heard all kinds of people talk about these different kinds of dreams. It's pretty amazing. And how unprotected does that feel? Now, when I tell you my story, doesn't that make you even feel, ooh, that would be awful? Very unprotected. And that's what God is pointing out to us this morning, is that He has given us the gear. We are not unprotected. We just have to remember we have it. So I want to talk for a second about the armor itself, and I want to go to verse 14, and let's look at our biblical dress. Stand therefore, having girded, having strapped on and belted, and be in readiness is what the word means. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet, or put on your feet, tie on, so to speak, with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, in all of it, taking or having lifted up and carried the shield of faith, the shield of trust, with which you will be able, and it isn't that you will be able, you are able to quench, to extinguish all the fiery darts. Now, I don't think I said some, did I?
No.
No. All? You want to say that with me? All the fiery darts, okay? Of the wicked one, and taking the helmet of salvation, our deliverance, and taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the Word of God here is interesting because typically the Word of God is Logos, okay, which just means the Word of God. And this one is Rhema, which means you say it out loud. You say it out loud. And so what he's saying is you have the Word of God and you can say it out loud, because sometimes we need to say it out loud, don't we? To fight against the attacks that we have. And then praying from the language is also a piece of the armor. Most people go through 17 and say that's all the armor. No. If you understand the original language, this is another ing word that all goes back to stand, right? We're going to stand. And so we get there, and this one is praying all the time, okay? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watchful to this end with all perseverance or patience and all supplication, the requests for all the saints. Now that's a lot of armor, isn't it? But look at my little guy here. This is my little armor guy. Okay, I sleep with him. No, I'm just kidding. And it doesn't look like that much, does it? I mean, we have the truth. We have the sword, the salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our shield, the peace with our feet shod. And this little bear has his mouth closed, but he prays. All right? He prays. So this morning, I want to start with the belt of truth. Stand, therefore, having girded or encircled your waist or hip, or in those days it would be the loins, with truth. Now, I think the reason he started out with the belt of truth, because that's the hardest thing for us to do through all this. And I want to talk about that for a second. Debbie was doing some study for her ladies' tea and her mommy's coffee. She read about this study where they took people and they analyzed how many times they lied during the day. Okay, so would you guess 10 times? What do you think? 10 times? Do I have any hands for that? Okay, 20. 30? Okay, 30. 40? 50? Answer's 200. 200 times a day the average person alters the truth, tells a lie, tells a fib, whatever we want to call it. And I looked at it and I thought, well, okay, because that didn't even make sense to me. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. What about repeating a story and embellishing it? Okay, we kind of lean over to the lie side, don't we? Maybe we quickly come up with an excuse to cover a problem so we stay out of trouble from the wife. Yeah, I just wanted to see if the men were awake. Okay, all right. We don't agree with somebody, but we just shake our head yes. You know, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't agree. Or you're protecting yourself from exposure of an accusation where somebody accuses you and you try to ward it off. Or you flat up make a story that doesn't exist in order to save you from grief or whatever. Have you ever, I've hit a couple of these things, but have you ever caught yourself telling a story and then all of a sudden you add a piece that really isn't in the story, that because it sounds so good, or it's what you wish you had said but you didn't? I mean, you know, I every once in a while Deb and I will be talking, and one of us will say, and blah, blah, and they'll go, wait a minute, I didn't say that, but I sure wanted to. We just catch ourselves in the middle because it's so easy to throw that in, and pretty soon you sound like you're a great lawyer or whatever it may be, you know. But all these things add up to 200 times a day. I would hate to ask the question, how many times do we tell the truth during a day? All right. So, no wonder God hates the lie. He says this, and I want you to really hear this morning, out of Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. So does God love our embellishments? No. But those who deal truthfully are his what?
Delight.
Yeah, every time I read that verse, what conviction. The very basic and fundamental issue to survive from temptation and sin is being able to live in the truth. And by that I mean not believing false statements, false doctrines. People quote the craziest things as though they're true. And a lot of times they'll quote something and I think, oh man, I can't believe they're saying that. And think of scripture. Like for instance, here's one I've heard many times. If I don't read my Bible, something bad is going to happen to me. And so that's our good, positive motivation to read the Bible when it's based on a lie. There's a couple things I've done in my life that God can't forgive. Okay? I've really heard that from a lot of people that have been in the military and seen ugly things happen. Can God forgive everything?
Amen.
Yeah, totally. If we don't read our Bible, do bad things happen to us as a result? No. I'm not good enough to serve. Man, I've heard that so many times. I'm just not good enough. I haven't quite grown enough and I can't serve. Is that true? No. God didn't give me any gifts and talents. He gave everybody else these spiritual gifts and talents and stuff, but he didn't give me any. Man, I've really heard that before. Is that true? No. God rejects and abandons me if I sin. Well, sounds good. Is it true?
No.
God won't give me more than I can handle. Okay, now, I want to stop there for a second because most of you have said that, right? Do you know that's not in the Bible? He says he won't allow us to have more temptation than we can handle, but he never says that we go through life and he won't give us more than he can handle. I've had times in my life when I can't handle it. How about you?
Yes.
Yeah. God is discouraged with me. God is angry with me. Is he? Is he really angry? After watching, we have 7 billion people in the world, okay? And he watches all 7 billion people and he sees them sin. Do you think he really gets wrapped around the axle about you? Right? God wants me poor. God wants me rich. I've done and seen too much. I'm thinking about it, so I might as well just go ahead and do it. I believe God's way is the best way, but I have this idea. Yeah. Man, I've seen a lot of people fall on that one. Truth comes from his word. And if we believe or cling to something we think differently from what he says, we are tarnishing our belt of truth. You know, as you get up in the morning, do you believe in God's truth? And say, you know what? I believe totally in God's truth. And I'm going to follow it today. Instead, a lot of times we begin the day with lies from the evil one, because he's already there just waiting for you to open your mind and eyes. And it starts in, and pretty soon you get down to your coffee and you're mad. Right? Truth is the basic element of our armor. That's why it's mentioned first. We are encircled with the waist, at the waist, with honesty. And you know at the time what that means when it says hip or loins? It means your whole genital area. It isn't just, see, on this little guy, they put it with somebody that wasn't a scholar, okay? And so they put a little belt of truth, but that actually belt of truth goes around and back up again because it's protecting that area. And the Hebrews always believed that all of our strength, whether man or woman, comes from that area. And it needs protecting. And so when we talk about the belt of truth, this is covering our whole waist area. You know, as I mentioned all those different things, I thought to myself, man, I wish I could name everything that you think that's not true, but I can't do that, can I? I could do that for me and maybe get through half of them, and then the other ones I'm yet to discover. But the point is, I still discover mine, you still discover yours. And as we read the Word of God, because there's no way to be able to, I want to express this. I have a friend that I get together with once a week. And when I first got together with him, he really didn't know much about the Word of God at all. And he started reading his Bible, and now I'm so blown away at how much he does know. Because he's reading through his Bible. And the reason I'm saying that is a lot of you have never read through your Bible yet. And you may say to yourself, well, I kind of know the Bible, but I really haven't read it. Well, read it. Read it in an easy-to-read version. But read it. Because as I watched him read it, and he's about two-thirds of the way through that Old Testament part, he's reading for Genesis on, that guy's getting smart. He really is getting smart. And when he started, he was not smart in Bible-wise. A smart guy, but not Bible-wise. You know, I know in talking about this, the Holy Spirit has your heart this morning, does he? He sure got mine. And God's going to point out all those areas that you don't know. He promises to point those out to you. Do you know that? Listen to this from Philippians 4, 13 through 15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, being committed to God in a total way. And if in anything you think otherwise, what does it say? God will reveal even this to you. God is in the business of revealing to you when you're off the mark. We just don't listen very well at times, I think. But what an awesome promise. That when we're wanting to be all in for God, he will remind us when we're not. And you know that's true because he reminds you every day, doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
You hear that voice in your head. And if you lie, even to yourself, you will know it. And the Holy Spirit promises to point that out. You know, if the worship team would come back, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper today. I want to say a few things in closing, okay? So here's the conclusion. When we roll out of bed, we begin to start with telling ourselves the truth. We rehearse the truth, right? We rehearse what the Bible says with the few verses you may have memorized or the lot of verses you've memorized. You begin to say those to yourself right off the bat. How many times have you woken up depressed? Okay? And you're laying there. What do you do about it? You think, oh, I got to get up and take a shower. I got to get dressed and go to work and I hate my job, whatever. No, you start with rehearsing the truth. The truth that God loves us, that we're his child, whatever that may be for you. And then you get up and have a little spring in your shoe. That's our armor. Telling ourselves the truth. It's the beginning of dressing ourselves for the day. And because the day is going to start out with darts and temptations that will come our way, and then we get caught into the 200 lies that people tell per day. And if a lie slips out, brother and sister, correct it right then. Don't wait. Correct it. Let me finish by saying this to you. God's truth protects. God's truth protects. Begin with the truth and end with the truth. It's all in his word. Amen? The truth of the book God wrote. Let's worship together.